Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we're sure glad to be able to be with you here this morning. Before we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and consider some more examples of faith, I wanted to share this sentence filler with you. It says, "You can usually tell where a person goes hereafter by what they go after here." All right, let me say that one more time. You can usually tell where a person goes hereafter by what they go after here. And so I want to ask you a question before we start. What kind of things are you going after? What kind of priorities, what kind of goals, what kind of things grab you? You know, the Bible says, Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount, that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so, you know, maybe that's not something that you do. Maybe you're listening here this morning and you've never considered the kingdom of God. Maybe you haven't even considered that God exists. Well, you know, it's not something that anybody can force you to believe. But I want you to know there is a ton of evidence out there for us to believe that there is an intelligent, powerful designer that created all of this physical universe that we see, a God who created it, who sustains it, who has plan and purpose for all things. And so I would far rather trust in the Lord with all my heart than to lean on my own understanding or even somebody else's, because every other person is just like me, finite. And some people may be smarter, some people may be richer, some people may be stronger, or there may be people that aren't as intelligent or aren't as strong or aren't as wealthy as I am. So what? That's not the comparison, is it? The comparison is that we need to acknowledge the God who created us, to whom we will give an account to, give an answer for how we used our life. We didn't give it to ourselves. God gave it to us. And so this is part of the reason that we need to make sure that we're living by faith, faith in the Lord. We don't want to belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so, again, we've talked about that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. We're absolutely completely taken by the thought that God has the power to do what he says, that God is able to deliver us, that God has planned and purposed for us amazing things that we can't see yet, and yet he wants us to be faithful, even to the point of death, if it were. And so this is what we've been talking about in Hebrews chapter 11. And so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we didn't get a whole lot of time to talk about it last week. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, it talks about, "By faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones." Now, what's really interesting about this is that if you keep your finger there in Hebrews 11 and go back to Genesis chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24, it says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, 'God will surely come to your aid, then you must carry my bones up from this place.' And so Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt." So Joseph had faith in something that God had shared with Abram so many, many years before. Back in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions." So, you know, this is hundreds of years before this ever happened, and yet it had been passed down through Abram, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Jacob's sons, and through all the time of Joseph's stay in Egypt, and he's saying, "Hey, don't leave my body here. Take it with you when God delivers you out of this country." Of course, when Exodus starts, we have the whole account of Pharaoh and Moses and God delivering his people out of Egypt. But I want you to look at Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. As they were leaving, it says, "Moses took the bones of Joseph with him." Okay, Exodus 13, 19. "Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear on oath. He had said, 'God will surely come to your aid, then you must carry my bones up with you from this place.'" I mean, that's faith. That's not only faith in what God had promised Abram all those years before, but it's also faith on Moses' part to do as Joseph had said, believing that promise and fulfilling that. And so now we come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, and let's just read through this real quick, because these next quite a few verses are going to focus on Moses and on Moses' faith. Now, Moses wasn't a perfect man, and as you read through Exodus, you find that Moses had a lot of doubts and a lot of misgivings and confidence issues even. And yet he stuck in there, he just continued to look to God, and God used him for mighty purposes in the events of Israel coming out of Egypt. And so back in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." So these are all specific things that are mentioned about Moses, and we're going to start taking a look at those today, and probably we'll end up finishing next week, Lord willing. But again, this is kind of representative of Moses' life here, and how that Moses was an example of faith. All right, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is by Ryan Stevenson, called "Holding Nothing Back." And I hope that's the way your life is in Christ. I hope you're holding nothing back. I hope you're giving your all to the one who lay his life down on the cross for you. I hope that you think and consider your life as something that's precious in the sight of God, because he laid down his life for you. Let's listen to "Hold Nothing Back" this morning.
this curtain, there is a heart that's hurting. It's been taking a beating. It's starting to fall apart. And I feel like such an easy target, dodging bullets. I'm exhausted. How can every moment be this hard? I'm holding nothing back from you. It doesn't really matter what I lose. Got a heart that's open, I'm broken, and I want you to know, Jesus, I don't want anything coming in between you and me. Jesus, it doesn't matter. Got a list that goes on and on. It's overflowing with memories of everything that I've been doing wrong. And I'll be the first to say I chased after so many foolish things, looking for a way to kill the pain. Oh, I'm holding nothing back from you. It doesn't really matter what I lose. I got a heart that's open, I'm broken, and I want you to know, Jesus, I don't want anything coming in between you and me. Jesus, it doesn't matter what I have to go through. I'm holding nothing back, nothing back from you. I tried and do the right things. Why am I struggling day to day with these same old things? Whatever's taking your place, I'm getting out of the way. I'm getting out of the way. Jesus, I don't want anything coming in between.
Okay, we're back this morning, and in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 23, we're going to be talking about the faith of Moses. Now, before we specifically talk about Moses' faith, let's talk about his parents. Okay, in verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Okay, so let's talk about what's happened. Maybe you're already familiar with it. Those of you that have been coming to our Sunday evening services that start at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, we've been going through Exodus, and so this should be just real review for you. But in Exodus chapter 1, we find out that after Joseph died and that whole generation, that another Pharaoh came to the throne who took advantage of the nation of Israel. They made them slaves, if you would, and put them to work, and they started to multiply and expand so much that they actually got afraid of them, that they were possibly going to turn against them. And so this new Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, he made a decree that said, hey, if a baby is born of the Hebrews, if it's a girl, let it live, but if it's a boy, destroy it. Well, that didn't go over very well. And so in verse 22 of chapter 1 of Exodus, Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people: every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile. Okay, wow, nice guy. Drown the baby boys, feed them to the alligators. I mean, that is terrible. Okay, and so So this guy was not a nice guy. All right. So it's during that period of time that Moses was born. Now, it talks about in chapter 2 and verse 1, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. In Exodus chapter 6, we just talked about this, that we find out that his parents' names were Amram and Jochebed, just in case you need that for some trivia question, right? But what they did when Moses was born, there was something about him. It says when they saw that he was a fine child, or Hebrew says that he was no ordinary child, that there was, you know, just something about him, whether it was his good looks or whatever it was, that they're like, wow, you know, this is more than just this. They believed what God had to say about life, and they weren't afraid of Pharaoh's edict. They were not going to throw their boy in the Nile, and they weren't going to let anybody else do it either. And so she hid him for 3 months. Well, you know, you can imagine, those of you that have had children, you know how hard that is to keep a baby quiet. And so it says when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, placed the child in it, put it in the reeds among the bank, and lo and behold, the basket that he was put in, Pharaoh's daughter went down and saw the basket among the reeds where it had been placed, and sent her female slave to get the baby, and felt sorry for it. And guess what? Moses' sister was right there, and she said, hey, you know, shall I go find a Hebrew nurse for you? And so, yes. And so Moses' sister Miriam, we learned later, went and got Moses' mom, came back. And so Pharaoh's daughter actually ended up paying Moses' mother to take care of him. What a deal, right? We talked about the providence of God, that even in that, God had some pretty amazing things going for Moses, that Pharaoh's decree to destroy Moses was actually the thing that brought Pharaoh into the Egyptian palace to be trained in all the wisdom and all the knowledge and understanding of Egypt itself. And so, pretty amazing. But that was his parents' faith. You know, they saw he was no ordinary child, and I would imagine even whether he would have been or not, no parent's just going to let their child be killed. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were more interested in doing what God wanted them to do. Okay, so now we switch it to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so based on what we just talked about, we understand that Pharaoh's daughter raised him up as one of her own children, and he would have been there in the royal household. Wow, I mean, can you even imagine what that must have been like? And yet, after he had grown up, it says that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not that he didn't acknowledge it, but it's just he had to make a choice. Am I going to continue in this way of life, or am I going to continue in the way of faith that God wanted him, the way of his people, the way of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And so Moses chose to listen to God. Now, it took a while, okay? Even while he was there in Egypt, you can read about him trying to, you know, rise up and be the leader of his people, and he killed an Egyptian slave driver and ended up being found out and fled for his life and was out in the desert for 40 years before God called him back to Egypt to deliver his people. And so it doesn't talk about that so much here in Hebrews 11, but it was a time where Moses had to develop his faith and to make some decisions about his life. And by faith, it says Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, here's the thing in the scriptures, like Egypt is kind of like a type and a shadow, if you would, of ungodliness and of nations that are full of idolatry and they don't acknowledge the living God. And there's always going to be those. There's always have, and there is even to this day. There are individuals, there's whole nations that don't acknowledge God. And so they're out there. And so we got to make a choice. Are we going to acknowledge God? Are we going to trust God? Are we going to have faith in God? Are we going to listen to God's word? Are we going to acknowledge him in all that we do? Or are we going to choose to let the world conform us to its pattern? Those are our choices. And so Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Now, unfortunately for Moses, frankly, a lot of his mistreatment came from the people of God, as you keep reading in Exodus. And yet through it all, he continued to have faith in God. He continued to believe God's promises. He continued to follow God's word. Now, not without some struggle sometimes, and yet he did. And even though ultimately he didn't get to physically go into Canaan, into the promised land, because of an instance in his life where he didn't live by faith, but we still know ultimately that Moses is a part of what we would call heaven, that he received the reward, the bent, the direction of his life was to trust and believe in God. And that's where his confidence was, and that's where our confidence should be. And so he chose to be mistreated. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, said, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen. And so when you acknowledge God, you're going to risk the scorn and the abuse and the insults and possibly even physical persecution from people that don't want to hear about God, don't want to hear about God's judgment against their sin, don't want to be told how to live or to listen to what God has to say. They're only interested in the flesh and in going for it and seeing how much gusto you can get in life, whether it's money or women or whatever it is, okay, that it's not all about that. It's not all about drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And so he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And that's what we need to remember. And as we kind of close up this morning before we listen to our last song, we need to recognize that sin is only something that's passing. It's only something temporary. It's something that ultimately is going to be done away with completely. And here's the thing, sin has no place in the presence of an absolute holy God. And so we need to choose and make up our mind. Are we going to continue in sin, or are we going to renounce sin and instead live by faith and acknowledge God in all the things that we do? Because someday there's a great day coming. There is a judgment day coming. And so let's listen to our last song this morning by Toby Mac. This is a song called Tonight. And this is all about decision. And I want you to think about whether you've made that decision to follow Christ as we listen to this song.
Someone more tonight. Like the river, no dam can hold. Being driven by a source overflowing our souls. Won't be like any night we've seen. It changes everything.
Well, I sure hope if you haven't made a decision to acknowledge God, to trust Him, to live by faith in the Son of God who died so that your sins could be forgiven, I hope you'll do that. Or at least I hope you'll start seeking after some answers. It's not a choice that God forces you to make. It's a choice He wants you to make. So who do you say that Jesus is? We're the church at Las Vegas, and we'd love to have you come and meet us. We'd love to meet you. We meet together Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer and Bible study. We'd love to have you come to any and all of those times and bring yourself, and we'd love to get to know you. You can find out more about us on thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. If you have other questions or needs, you can reach us there through email. We just want to continue to encourage you to pursue God. Open up the Bible, open up the Word of God, and start letting it affect your life. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. We want to encourage you to just keep on standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.